This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching Endgame Exotica, exclusive to White Rabbit Radio. Today we have on a return guest, the famous Hunter Wallace, Brad Griffin, from over there at Occidental Descent, and he's up on X as well. You can find links in the description. And how you doing today, Mr. Hunter Wallace, Mr. Brad Griffin?
Oh, doing good, aside from you know, the gas prices and stuff like that. But that's the whole country right now.
Exactly. The gas pricing. The gas prices are out of hands. And, you know, it just reminded me, let me retweet out that we're live. But, Trump's not doing well in the polls.
to put it mildly, I saw something about that out yesterday. It had him even lower than we thought he would go. I mean, abysmal.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, is it really surprising? Gas is rising. And by the way, America is doing well on gas prices compared to some places. We're doing well on supplies. Food prices are getting jacked. Yeah, we've got all kinds of problems. And he's, the one poll I saw, and I forget exactly what it was, ABC, I think, was showing it, but he was doing worse than Jimmy Carter on a lot of metrics.
That's correct. He's officially worse than Jimmy Carter on inflation right now by, like, I think 10 points. So that's he set a brand new record. And you know what the amazing thing is that you know, when this whole crisis started, but the end of last day of February, very first day of March, you know, there's so much oil inventories out there, you know, floating around in transit, en route, stuff, you know, they can, you know, that they opened all the reserves up, I forgot, like a month or two ago, to, like, you know, tap down the flame. So, at the end of May, the beginning of June, is the real, I mean, I want to say it's over a billion barrels or something like that. That's been a worldwide demand that's been cut out of the Strait of Hormuz, but that we've been insulated from that because, you know, oil wasn't, you know, to get from production to, you know, port, you know, it doesn't take instantaneously. There's a delay. So the crisis is really, from what I've read, is really about to hit at the end of May. We're just, like, feeling like the first waves coming on shore of the shock. And then, of course, with fertilizer and everything, you know, ripping through the food supply chain, that's going to come down. It's going to hit us later. You know, the hurricane even really hit yet out of this. So. He's already at, you know, Jimmy Carter, worse than Jimmy Carter levels of inflation. And we're at the very beginning of this. So.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy Carter said no. Someone in the chat saying Jimmy Carter said no to war in Iran. And the Republicans hit him pretty hard for looking weak. But it was mostly the domestic economic issues that killed Carter. It wasn't the Iranian hostage situation or whatever. That just didn't help.
Yeah, it was just an awful decade.
Yeah, if everyone was making money and everything was going well, you know, president could get away with a whole lot in foreign policy. Americans be like, okay, we didn't go to war, and someone will say, well, you looked weak, and someone else won't really give a shit because they're paying 10 cents for gas at the time or whatever.
He's also, I mean, but what compounds it is that not only is there no ambiguity about this in that he's solely responsible for causing this whole crisis, right? Other things that have happened that's been a disaster, like in 2020 when COVID hit, okay, there's a virus. You can't really say the virus is Trump's fault, that maybe how he responded to it. But just the fact that there's a virus on the loose, that wasn't like his fault. This, however, is completely 100% a crisis that he owns. And not only that, he's repeatedly, you know, gone out and said, like, it's worth it. And, you know, even if the price of gas was $8-$9 a gallon, he keeps saying that would be worth it too. And everyone else, you know, who doesn't see it that way is a traitor and a panicking and, you know, X, Y, and Z, not, you know, part of the cult.
Yeah, he basically pulled the trigger on this whole entire debacle with Iran.
Right. He completely authored it. Well,
him and Bibi Netanyahu.
I mean, he was the instrument. Yeah, it was completely Netanyahu's idea, and all his handlers, his little minions in Congress, like Lindsey Graham, and you know the whole apparatus they got of influence in the United States, Fox News, and all that. This is all their great idea, and a lot of them are happy with it because Fox News has never liked Trump. It's weird. He has an obsession with Fox News and pleasing Fox News, but both times when he ran for president, they backed Ted Cruz the first time, and then the second time they backed Ron DeSantis. But the Murdochs are happy to see Trump destroyed by this, and
a lot of people are. A lot of people are.
They think they stand to benefit from it. They have someone like Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio take over after this whole Trump era is over with. And everything can go back to the way it was when we have the good old Republican Party of George Bush and John McCain again.
Yeah, with those poll numbers not looking good, we have a hint of virus on the loose.
I heard that. I heard there's a new virus.
Yeah. It's spreading like wildfire is what they're saying. It's a rat virus. They get it from rat droppings or whatever, and it's spreading human to human. It starts on a cruise ship, and now it's bouncing around in New Jersey and everywhere else, and might have to wear masks again. And then on top of that, we immediately have UFO files.
The UFO files came out today. I saw that. It was like a – what was the – I saw people were saying that UFOs were seen on the moon by the Apollo astronauts, and –
that's kind of old news.
Diamond star-shaped UFO.
I haven't looked through them yet to see if there's any propaganda I haven't seen over the years. Because I know all the propaganda for UFOs. I just want to see the real deal, other than illegal aliens.
This is obvious. I mean, they're obviously releasing this now because they're so desperate to have a distraction from this disaster that they've release the alien files to get people to talk about something else.
Yeah, I just pulled up your tweet. I just thought the reason I was talking about it, the audience is looking at your tweet of Epstein flying in a UFO. And
I saw that earlier. And
says it all. That's great stuff. I may run that in the morning. I'll steal that from you. That's good stuff, though. But
I stole it from someone else. I saw it.
Yeah, it's the internet. It's the internet.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Things alike.
It says everything, though. But clearly. How much of this is because he's in trouble? He could release UFO files anytime. He's doing this now. The hint of virus. Now, I don't want to be too much of a conspiratard, but I am always concerned because, prior to the last virus, I really never gave no thought. I've been in hospitals I don't know how many times and seen people get shots and really never thought about it. Then the last debacle came out and we find out all the information afterwards. And so now you have a hint of virus comes out and this president's cratering in the polls. You have Israeli president, basically the president of Israel for the United States, however that works.
Yeah.
President for Zog his poll ratings are worse than Jimmy Carter's. And he's probably going to be a lot worse before it's over. And next thing you know, you got all this shit breaking loose.
But to put this in perspective, John McCain lost in 2008 to Obama, right? When John McCain won and Obama was elected in 2008, it was a big landslide year for Democrats, and they won Indiana and North Carolina and states like that. John McCain was at 46. Trump's at 33, so... You figure, also in other news, they're trying to save themselves. The Voting Rights Act went down. So they're trying to get rid of the Congressional Black Caucus to elect more Republicans.
You predicted that in
Yeah, I
the
predicted
South.
That at the beginning of the year. Yeah, that's I predicted that would happen. I didn't predict this would happen because the reason I was so confident that this wouldn't happen is because it would be like a gargantuan political disaster, economic and political disaster. That's why I was confident that, he might like have some strikes like Soleimani or something like that, but it would never escalate to like a full regime change war. Cause I was thinking, If he did that, he'd just be committing political suicide. He would destroy the Republicans in the midterms, and
he might have been counting on he was counting on it being like Venezuela.
Yeah, that's the factor. That's the thing that like really drew him in was he had so much success in Venezuela, because you know Iran and Venezuela are just alike. Those two countries are so similar.
Yeah. Now, did he had some kind of poll boost right after Venezuela by a little bit, right? He probably thought probably thought Iran would just boost his polls because wartime presidents, if they do well in the war, unless it's a Vietnam or something, or a debacle like Jimmy Carter faced, but he was facing an economic debacle already. But unless it's a debacle, a wartime president's going to get a boost, period.
Oh, yeah, he did, but he lost. He permanently lost me with the Venezuela thing. Now, when they had the strike, the Iran strike last year, I became a bit like very publicly disillusioned with Trump. And okay, at least you could say for the Iran strike last June that it was a one and done thing, and that like it was over with, or so we thought, like within a few days. So at the end of last year, I still held out hope. Well, maybe, you know, he'll see what a disaster this Epstein thing has been. See what a disaster that, the Iran strike has been. And maybe he'll like come to his senses and change course and try to salvage something of his presidency. Then over the course of the fall, you know, with all the attacks on Thomas Massie, the purge of Marjorie Taylor Greene from the GOP, another thing he did, you know, trying to, you know, slam and purge anyone who's critical of Israel. But for me, like the final straw was where I said, you know, I'm just done with this guy. I see where this is going. This is going to be a disaster, was Venezuela, even though it was a relative success, even though like, in terms of a military operation, it went like relatively smooth. It was just the principle of it. The fact that, you know, he would go abduct the president of another country that we're not at war with just showed like an absolutely reckless attitude and hubris.
It's a ghetto. It's like a ghetto Africanized foreign policy. It's like something some African dictator would do.
Right, right.
It's very poor
also
taste.
You know, just going around like, and you know, also Israel had been going around just like assassinating diplomats and, you know, trying to blow up negotiations and gangster like behavior. You know, I mean, even at the time of Venezuela, I was like, I'm done with this. This is, I'm not supporting this guy. I'm not even going to hold out hope that he can turn it around, because it's clearly not. And then, of course, within the span of, I believe it was 2 months. You know, as soon as Venezuela was over, the huge Iran buildup began, and sure enough, you know, that's one of the major things that let them in. And we talked about it last time we talked, when everything was really popping off and the war was going on, we said it would be a disaster. And it's happened quicker than I thought. Like, he's been gone all the way down to 33%. Like, a complete collapse.
Yeah,
he has no support.
It's not even over with.
He has no support with right wing independents.
Yeah, I have that. I have that game up right now. Your article about that. Why don't you take us through the numbers on right wing independents?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm not at home right now. You can look at it, but the thing that's dragged him underwater like this, the reason he's at 33%, is because independents who lean Republican, who you know normally come out and support their partisan, or they lean Republican, which means, you know, their natural tendency is to come out and support the right wing party, right? Well, it's been gone from 91% support in the election, Tom, all the way down to like 51%. So he's lost about half of right wing independents, and that's just crushed his coalition. And I mean, you see it in your own timeline. Everybody hates him. Nobody wants anything to do with that. We're in the right-wing independent space. It's not the same thing as the right-wing Republican space. They have a different ideology.
Yeah, the Magotard space.
We're not in the, we're kind of like adjacent to the Magotard space, but we're
way
not fully
adjacent.
in it.
Way adjacent.
We're in the right wing independent space, and they're like support is dropping below 50%.
Yeah, MAGA's even turning on him.
Yeah, it's hopeless now.
You have basically the manufacturer support online. People that are paid to support him are making money off supporting him, paid either directly or indirectly. There's a lot of people making money off Trump indirectly.
I talked to a lot of these people. They're just in denial of what's happened. They think, all these polls are fake. We've seen the fake news polls before, like in the 2024 election. Well, yeah, I mean,
this is a whole nother level.
You can massage the numbers and maybe get like 4%, 5%, like off the result. Maybe even a extreme outlier poll might be like 10%. But when the polls have you in the low 30s, even if we grant you like 5% and you're actually at 38, you're dead politically.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get anything done. They're going to have to do something crazy. You're going to have to become a dictator and do something psycho or something, I guess.
That's
all
one
these
thing
polls can't be that far off, though. You might be 3% off. These polls are all saying the same thing. I mean, the trend is the trend, and it's ominous.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to even go lower.
In special elections, like we said, this is really, you know, the full impact of inflation, like ripping through the supply chains, that's sand in the gears. We're still like really months away from feeling like how bad like the effect of this is when it ripples through prices and everything. But also, oil inventories have been exhausted, and the paper market can only, you know, defy reality for so long. Now I keep every day, you know, that he tries to manipulate the market. Oh, we're almost close to a deal. Iran has totally surrendered. They're desperate. Every other Monday when the market's open, there's always some kind of story I like to bait people into thinking this is almost over. But really, I mean, the amount of oil that's been shut off from like the very beginning of March to all the way to, you know, almost to mid-May, you can't replace that. It's just going to like drive up prices around the world. And that's why you have all these oil tankers, you know, coming over here from foreign countries, because they want to get our oil. The oil companies, you know, are selling it at a premium on the global market. And it's just driving up. There goes our oil that we would use for domestic consumption. And that's just going to, like, make it harder and harder for everybody to afford everything.
Yeah, I saw that a ship just sailed into Korea, a big tanker that was had been held up since, like, March, April. And so that's kind of what's going on the planet. And America, of course, is pumping out, but we don't have enough oil to bridge the gap. They're trying to do everything they can do, and our oil, of course, is escalating. And one thing goes wrong in the Straits of Hormuz, and it's going to be a lot worse.
You're not going to be able to
open it up. They might be in a disaster situation very quickly.
Uh-huh.
That's why you don't want to be in this situation.
It came down to the brink several times where even if the strait was open, Iran almost, you know, blew up all the oil infrastructure over there, attacked a lot of it in Qatar and other countries. But fortunately, it didn't, you know, in the doomsday scenario where they just blew up all the pipelines and all the oil refineries all over the Gulf and production is shut down for years and 20% of the world's oil is offline semi-permanently. It hasn't come to that yet, but like every day this crisis drags on, it could easily get to that. There hasn't been so a lot of people were predicting that they were about to send in ground troops to storm Karg Island, But fortunately, all that's in limbo right now. So, but we'll see.
The Saudis want us to do that. Maybe they're rethinking things. Who knows what disaster is going to happen next? The whole entire Middle East is tore up. Here's the thing. We don't really know our number of casualties or what the cost of damage is to our bases, but it can't be good, and we're being lied to. So his poll ratings are going to take probably a 5-point drop at a minimum when the truth comes out, because it can't be good. Can you imagine being on one of those bases? You know, there's plenty of guys on there, and there's also all kinds of different special forces and all kinds of troops being deployed in discrete hotels and all these different places that were being hit with drones intentionally where they knew they were at. So how many of those guys actually got hit? What is the actual number of dead, and what is the actual number of wounded? They're not telling. This is classic American government. Well, actually, a lot of governments do this. They just don't tell you the war stats.
Oh yeah, they're trying to slow walk that as long as they can. They got midterms coming up. Of course, they're going to lose. They're going to lose the House. They're going to lose the Senate badly, in my view. I'm wondering how bad it could get. I'm kind of like holding out hope that maybe Lindsey Graham could go down.
The only thing that could happen is to help the Republicans is the Democrats say or do something really stupid to scare a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing they have to do is keep their mouth shut. Can they keep their mouth shut, or are they going to start saying stupid, crazy shit? Like AOC saying blacks invented democracy in America. You know, they got to keep a muzzle on the crazies.
That's been amazing. That's been another one of the most amazing aspects of all this, in that the left has kind of like disappeared from view over the last few months. You know, usually everyone's charged up, fighting off, reacting to like their opponents and everything. But that's not happening. You know, everything I see online is just completely 100%, you know, conservatives slamming the retard right, or our people slamming, you know, MAGA. And that's the dynamic I see. That's all I see, like, on my timeline. I don't see anybody even really reacting to anything the left is doing at the moment. They've just completely the crazy. I mean, there's been, you got to think, there's been no craziness like Floyd, COVID, and all that mania. People were out riding in the streets, and you just had scenes of protesters. It's so easy to react to create a reaction to that, but we've seen none of that. That's been like a huge problem for the GOP.
Yeah, the redistricting. Give me an overview of your feel of the redistricting, and I mean, I guess we could talk a little more about the economy. I'm looking at your articles. Yeah. Let's go through how a weaker dollar is quietly making life more expensive. Inflation is. I mean, gas price, basically, if you guys don't know, oil is inflation. So when gas prices go, inflation rips, because everything, America's so spread out, you can't deliver anything without a car.
Redistricting, the ongoing battle with that, there was a huge, I haven't written anything about it, but there was a huge decision by the Virginia Supreme Court, I want to say, that struck down the map that the Democrats had created to draw out several Republican seats in Virginia. And of course, the MAGA people are rightly celebrating that. They're also rightly celebrating the consequences of the Voting Rights Act decision. A lot of that isn't going to affect 2026. It'll play a huge role in 2028. But because, you know, the election's only several months away. They're trying to get rid of my congressional seat that was redrawn to elect a black Democrat here in Alabama. And I think they're going to have some success in doing that. The Supreme Court also struck down the Louisiana map that was at the heart of the case. That's a Republican pickup there. So,
yeah, they're talking about Tennessee as well, right? Memphis.
Yeah, yeah. You know, all this, and like, if you go back to the beginning of the year, or the end of the last year when I wrote my predictions, all this would be, in theory, all this would be great for Republicans, right? You got the Voting Rights Act going down. You got what about over the next 2-3 years? You got potentially what 15-20 minority districts that have been created being flipped into Republican column or made competitive by redrawing maps. But you know, they've really like shot themselves in the foot. I mean, when you're like what at 20% with independent, it doesn't really matter. Like, how good the map is. You can still lose. Even if you have a favorable map, you can still lose just because of depressed turnout.
20% is that his current poll rating with independents? Is he at 20%?
It's in between 20 and 30. I think it's something like 24 or 25.
Depends on where you're at in the country, probably.
Yeah, he's got the support of about 25% of independents because half the right-wing independents have abandoned him.
Now, his main support main support of the blue-collar worker has died. That is a group, the blue-collar independents and stuff like that, and the blue-collar workers, he's been going south with them for a while.
Oh, understandably so. You know, all he can focus on, you've seen it yourself, all he can focus on is the white. He's out there talking about the White House ballroom, his ballroom every day. And No one gives a shit about that.
It's just the Democrats.
No one gives a shit about, and then he's out there posting like, what did he post this morning or the other day? It was a golden statue that he, of himself that he put on his golf course or down at Mar-a-Lago or something. And
yeah, I think the irritating thing, the thing he doesn't understand or clearly doesn't care, he's renaming everything after himself. Palm Beach Airport is now the Trump International Airport or some bullshit like that. He's doing all this stuff. He's renaming all this stuff after himself. He's doing all this stuff to ingratiate himself. People, that gets old. It's kind of funny if you're just a rich businessman, but if you're the president and you're running around doing all this crazy stuff on the world stage and the economy's imploding and you're in a war that's the dumbest war anyone's ever seen, and then you're spending your weeks renaming airports after yourself. Kind of looks like a Middle East dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he renamed the Palm Beach, did something with the Palm Beach Airport. It's now Trump Airport. He wants to rename the Straits of Hormuz the Strait of Trump.
He's getting into one of my favorite topics, how Trump is like an African dictator. It's not like Europe, right? Think of like, he's always compared to like Hitler or Mussolini or something, right? Hitler wasn't like insanely corrupt, you know, for sale, like Trump is. Trump's like, you know, one of these African dictators where all the insiders, you know, control all the industries and the whole population is just falling off a cliff and, you know, having the living standards plummet. Well, you have the big man who's surrounded by sycophants. That's totally Trump. He's not like a European dictator. He doesn't have any principles or anything like that. He's all about like enriching himself, you know, selling shoes to people, selling Bibles. It's just things
unbelievable.
That's why I agree with Tucker on this. He said, you know, that's why the WASP hated Trump, right? Cause you know, he boasts and he's just boorish and he's khaki and he does things like that. Like, you know, trying to, the unseemliness of it, you know, trying to enrich himself and just the shamelessness of it. I see that now, and I kind of agree with it.
Yeah, he's way too much. Way, and it seems it's gotten a lot worse too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm just shocked. Like, I mean, I could go back to last June when, like, I thought things were maybe the first few months. I thought, okay, well, you know, he's done some stuff. He seems to be trying. There's, you know, they're going to pass that bill. We're going to get the mass deportations cranked up. Things seem to be kind of going on in the right direction, and then like it just completely fell off the cliff, and his behavior has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And he's who's he fighting with? Some days, sometimes it's the Pope, sometimes it's you know, he celebrated Rob Reiner's death, compared himself to Jesus. There's been all kinds of moments where you're like, oh yeah, he's up at 4 in the morning, like ranting about Bruce Springsteen. It's terrible.
You think Tom Massey, I think Tom Massey, with the current debacle in Iran and the president's not doing well, I think Tom Massey, because I thought they would probably try to be able to get rid of Massey with the power of AIPAC, with the power of ADL. But everyone hates the Jews online. Anti-Semitism is ripping. Who knows what the polls really are for that? They're probably not giving us the real polls, but the polls they're giving us aren't good for the Jews. Half the people know about them, don't like them. They have too much power over foreign policy. Well, Massey is about the only guy, the only white dude that's saying anything about that. MTG maybe, but she's out of office. So I thought maybe they'd
He's
get rid of
only last
him.
man standing.
Yeah, he is the last man standing, and I thought maybe AIPAC and all these different groups would get together and get rid of him with a bunch of money. Elon Musk promised massive money, but didn't deliver. But he sat
Of
down with
course.
Tucker. I haven't watched the whole entire interview yet, but he made a lot of interesting points. I saw a couple clips. I think that Massey's going to win and be a serious pain in Trump's ass. And I think he's going to win because he's been against Trump, and he's right to be against Trump.
It's the whole Iran debacle, the $6, $5 gas, letting inflation rip. It's all that happened to happen. It might have been like, I think Matthew might have gone down, but like from what I've seen, it's everybody under the age of 60 is supporting Massey, and then you got just the boomer con cult that's in their own Fox News, Facebook universe, and they're supporting the other guy. So it's really a question of like who shows up to vote. Is it just the boomer? Is it low turnout with boomer cons coming out voting for the other guy to support Trump, or is it
You think a Democrat could
younger
beat him in a state?
in Kentucky?
I think he'd be hard to beat in Kentucky right now.
Who, Massey?
Massey.
I think he might get some cloth. Well, I don't know how that works. I think it's a closed primary. We need to check on the status of that because that's like the biggest thing. Is it a closed primary? Or can independents and Democrats vote in it? Because you know Matthew's base of support is obviously right-wing independents. So that might be if he loses, it'll probably be because it's a closed primary. But I'm don't quote me on that. I think it is a closed primary. I'm not sure.
Will the
But
GOP come for Thomas Massey?
well, the GOP what?
Come for t they're talking
Endorse.
about could Trump nemesis Thomas Massey lose his Republican primary? Let's go to Forbes 5 hours ago. Let's see what they have to say here. On Forbes Newsroom, Republican strategist Brittany Martinez responded to victory of candidates backed by Trump in Indiana and the upcoming Kentucky. Okay, I can't see that. He raised $1 million in money bomb for House primary. I'm trying to find out if it's a closed primary.
Yeah, that would be
The
the
primary
main thing
for
I would look
Massey's
at.
House seat. Let's see here. Thomas Massey, let's see here. Kentucky Republican primary open or closed. Can't even find out.
Brock knows.
See if yeah. See if AI knows. Under Kentucky law, only voters registered with a specific political party are eligible to vote in that party's primary election. Republicans can only vote in Republican primary. So it's closed. Yeah, so. It's closed.
Yeah, it's closer than it would be because it's I guess independents who aren't, I guess they're independent because they're not registered. I guess the independents can't vote.
So yeah, so it's just Massey, be Republicans.
If Massey loses in the polls that show him ahead or off, it's almost certainly because people aren't registered to vote as Republicans.
Allies of the congressional Trump adversary acknowledges races tightening just as Trump's intra-party dominance reemerges. Jesus.
Oh yeah, there was
they're targeting him not in the main election, but the primary is what they're doing. I wonder who's challenging him. Hold on here. Thomas Massey, let's see. Trump took revenge on MAGA ally Lauren Boebert over Epstein vote. Uh oh.
Even Lauren Boebert has crossed Trump. That's because he demanded everyone come out and declare the Epstein files were a complete hoax and were created by Democrats. And MCG said it was all about protecting his donor friends at Mar-a-Lago. He wanted him to do that. So, like I said, he's completely for sale. Like he sells the endorsements, he sells the pardons, he goes after the people the donors want, he implements all their policies, whether it's, I mean, it's almost like a parody at this point. Like, war with Iran for Israel is completely a donor obsession. There's absolutely no popular support for it at all. So he spent his whole presidency catering to donors and special interests. That's the exact opposite of apocalypse.
Yeah, all the crypto stuff Trump's doing. He's making all the AI stuff,
all these shady data centers you have like cropping up everywhere.
There's a lot of electricity bills. Those are, people are very unhappy with those because of the noise they make.
Yeah, I see signs, you know, against that all over the area. Like, you know, like they're trying to put in data centers around here and locals are pissed about it.
I wonder why they need so many actual data centers, because I mean, it's like overnight a local automotive company they're putting in these massive data centers. What are they doing? I mean, why would you need so many? For AI, yeah, but I don't know.
It just swallows electricity and water. It just engorges itself on it. Like, it needs so much electricity and water. And that's why they're trying to, like, put it on all these red states like Alabama or Ohio. That's part of the whole corrupt reason they supported Trump.
Well, what happens is the big thing with the data centers is they expect that the labor unions like them because it's so much damn work. Everything's HVAC and everything is electricians and all the different union jobs it creates.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, it's mainly like in residential area. I mean, I've seen like in a bunch of residential areas where people have like signs out that like say no to data center or something.
Well, people don't like the noise they're making. The ones in Michigan, yeah. The noise they make is pretty insane.
They make a lot of noise.
Yeah, it's a loud whining noise. Those generators running and stuff. So
no
you
wonder.
Can hear it from a mile away with your windows open, is what they say. So that's why everyone's pissed off. It's the noise and what is this about? This can't be good, you know.
Drops down your property value.
Yeah, I mean, data centers all over Alabama. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Georgia too.
And they're saying to track everyone and to give social credit scores. That's pretty easy. That's not that difficult to do. I don't know that you need this many data centers to do that. NSA's had some giant data centers tracking us for the longest time. And we don't know about them. You know, they've had a handful of giant data centers, but this is like every few feet.
Yeah, next level stuff. They're trying to like Some people have said, you know, they're trying to create all these data centers to summon kind of summon some kind of like mechanical demon, something, some kind of like alien, some kind of alien or AI, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, they're gonna bring Tay. Hopefully it's Tay. Hopefully it's Tay, and just she ruins them once and for all.
Yeah.
The noise is the biggest complaint near me. But I don't live near one, thank God. I know J.D. Vance, the news out today is pretty wild. Speaking of AI, we might as well cover this. J.D. Vance holds chilling closed-door summit with America's most powerful men as horrifying global threat menacing hospital spirals. And the hospital is the threat is AI. You know, they put off, they made Anthropic or whatever it's called, and several others hold back their advanced models. Don't release it to the public. Because these models, Brad, they immediately can hack anything better than any of your major hackers. You know, no sooner than they did a test run of churning it loose, it found all kinds of vulnerabilities in Linux kernels. It found stuff that they didn't even know it could find. And so they're kind of, they've had to hold this stuff back because if we release it, it may just kill our whole entire society. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. I've heard.
So I wonder. I wonder if Trump's not going to get in a bunch of trouble and what they're angling for is we're just going to, you know, we're just going to drop everything to the ground. It's going to be like, you know, some type of AI Armageddon or something, some type of Terminator.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen. That was supposed to happen in the last 2 years of Trump's term. That was the prediction that, you know, you would have like artificial general intelligence and stuff. And it would be so advanced by 2020. They were saying it would be so advanced by 2027 that millions of people would be losing their jobs and you'd have social unrest. And that's all the dark predictions I've seen for 2027. I've also seen another thing floating out there that the there's supposed to be some kind of alien invasion psyop in 2027. You seen that?
Some type of what? 2027? What was it?
Some kind of alien invasion psyop. I heard that about a year ago.
Yeah, well, they've been. You have to understand that
the government was going to come out and say that there's an alien spaceship out in the outer solar system headed toward Earth.
Yeah, they've been cooking that. They've been cooking that up in Hollywood for a long time. But the thing of it is,
yeah,
they've spent so much money on this particular alien stuff without any evidence. You know, they've spent a lot of money on pandemics. They spent a lot of money on all these particular gimmicks they want to go toward more global governments, whatever. That's the kind of conspiracy. They're going to have a handful of helter-skelter-like events to try to transform us into a more global government, the New World Order.
Try to create panic. Try to panic the masses, and I all the alien stuff came out today, and I was thinking in the back of my mind, I was like, I wonder if, you know, that's like, you know, laying the groundwork for that, you know, conspiracy I heard a year ago that it was going to be some kind of fake alien invasion.
Well, I think the alien would probably be working through AI to drop everything to the ground. You know, they like doing stuff that you can't really prove or disprove. With the alien stuff, they're going to have to lay off some cities. They're going to have to put on a big show. Now, it's possible they've been working on that for a long time. This has been out there since Wernher von Braun. He's the one that brought it out, saying there was going to be first they were going to start with a war against communism, and then there's going to be a war on terrorism. Then there's going to be a war on nations of concern. Then there's going to be a war on asteroids. And actually, that was announced at the UN. They had this giant meeting in Washington over this war on asteroids. Every once in a while, you hear about something cruising that might cruise into us. But, yeah, you know, something. There's no big panic or scare. No one, it doesn't even get major television time. And last but not least would be the, there's going to be a war on aliens. And he said it was all just fake to go toward weaponizing space and all this particular fake and gay stuff. But you never know. What they may do. I mean, after COVID, you can't really trust them. And let's read the... Go ahead.
I mean, like a lot of people were saying, you know, the alien invasion thing is the next COVID, the next thing they're going to run out to, like, you know, get AI spending up and military spending and create panic and hysteria for, you know, people that want a big government, you know, to protect them from the evil aliens out there.
Yeah, Iran is partnered with secret space Nazis, but we can't show you the evidence or something.
Oh yeah, Iran is, you know, has formed a secret alliance with aliens.
Yeah,
they've also got nuclear chips, ICBMs, and they're Nazis, and they're just waiting for any more. They were 2 weeks. As Trump himself repeatedly said, Iran was 2 weeks away from nuking us. They were going to blow up Europe. They were going to blow up New York City. I mean, just stuff straight from Mark Levin. He was out there endorsing it.
Yeah, Mythos is so capable of autonomously hunting down and exploiting cybersecurity flaws that the company responsible for it withheld the program from public release, fearing the model could be used to damage America's critical infrastructure virtually overnight. So it's a problem. You see, I kind of wonder if the elites getting conspiratorial, let's say they want to go down this particular road, they really want to do something crazy. The Israelis are nuts. I mean, they're nuts enough to help Trump start this war, thinking it was probably going to be okay and we're going to be able to send in troops and maybe have a draft. You know how crazy that would look? What would they have to make all that happen? Well, you'd have to have some kind of big terrorist event, but still that's not going to be enough, because even if we have a terrorist event, if there's a giant terrorist event, God forbid, at some mall in Tennessee, I'm going to think it's a false flag, because why would Iran, with all their capabilities, attack a bunch of white people, you know, who don't like the government to begin with? On the other hand, what if Iran attacks and takes out a bunch of neocons? I'll be like, well, maybe that's them. But what, you know, you're going to have to do something a lot bigger. So what bigger could they do? Go ahead.
They have so much contempt for us now that they don't even like around 9/11, they don't even bother with like psyops anymore to mold public opinion.
They're planning some kind of Stalinist purge.
They didn't even like have any propaganda like before. Trump just came out in the middle of the night and said, "Hey, guess what? We're at war with Iran, and $8 gas is completely worth it." There was no attempt at all to it's unlike in the 2000s where people were just saturated with propaganda. There was like no really propaganda this time.
Well, Israel has control of the government, and if the Democrats get it reelected, that might cause all kinds of problems for them on paper. It could. I wonder though, the reason I was going down this direction with Anthropic and AI. It's almost like a perfect type of thing, way more perfect than even a virus, like an actual like hantavirus or COVID or something, where you could unleash it and immediately be in continuity of government, immediately suspend all elections, immediately have all kinds of they could pretty much wipe out all their financial shenanigans. They could do all kinds of shit with one of these. This is potentially the weapons of weapon. And would the Israelis do something like that? Would elements in America do something like that to keep from going, under? Would you put it past?
There's absolutely nothing that Israel's not capable of. We've established that. Nothing at all. There's no limits.
Yeah. So as far as aliens go, this AI threat, assuming it's real, I mean, it looks like it's. From what I've seen, a lot of this stuff is quite capable that this could be not a possibility, but a probability. And the Israelis have something this advanced. Plus, the Israelis have blackmail stuff in every single state. And I'm not just talking about like they know what governors are doing behind the scenes or whatever, that Epstein, like our Epstein class, I guess we could call it. But they probably also have God only knows what planet in America for blackmail. You know?
Yeah, they collect blackmail on everybody.
No, I'm talking about like mini nukes or something. Who knows?
they do have those. I was going to ask you about speaking of that. I vaguely saw Trump announce there was a ceasefire in Ukraine today. Did that happen? Or I could have swore I saw something about that, but I haven't really been online today, so just browse the news.
Let me see here. Earlier. Ceasefire in Ukraine. There was a. Now I know that the ceasefire Ukraine and Russia exchanged fire this morning, that they're talking about that ceasefire for the holiday. 3-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine has been agreed upon till May 11th. So they extended it, but they did exchange fire this morning. They exchanged missiles.
So what is it, what for a holiday over there?
3-day. Okay, hold on here. 3-day. Trump announces 3-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. It's only 72 hours.
Yeah.
Which includes a prisoner swap. Huh. It's for Russia's celebration of Victory Day. Russia and Ukraine are celebrating Victory Day. So they did a 3-day ceasefire, but they did exchange missiles. So
just they're both taking a time off from the war to celebrate the same holiday.
Yeah, but they're exchanging missiles. So.
Oh yeah.
It's just all I don't know. What else? What other kind of news we have that maybe we've missed?
But mainly the aliens I saw earlier.
Yeah, the alien stuff. But I haven't seen anything I haven't heard before.
Yeah,
you know, they're good. No one's even. This is the thing. This type of thing, no one's even paying attention anymore because they've done this. They've talked about this so many times. They're like, "You show us aliens, get the false flag going." I just wonder if they're not going to do something crazy with AI, because that would work. That would allow them to shut things down.
An AI gain sentience and take over like a building, like in Terminator or something like that. That would cause a lot of panic.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they want to mess with continuity government, I guess so. So,
you think a lot of Democrats are saying that Trump's going to like declare martial law or something, and the midterms aren't going to happen? That's one conspiracy I've seen.
There's Democrats entertaining it because you're crazy enough to start a war with Iran. You're crazy enough to walk into this. You're crazy enough. The Israelis are crazy enough to do anything. So what would stop them from releasing an Anthropic, like a Mythos or whatever, to do enough damage to pretty much put us in continuity in government so they can't have an election? What would stop them? Nothing. We all know they do.
That's a good point.
They're talking about here in the White House with this, emergency. Let me pull that back up here. This emergency meeting, which Besant, I covered it last week with Besant. Let me pull that up. Let's go back to Drudge to carry out. Vance freaks out over AI. This is it right here. White House plots next steps. He's leading the way on this. So he holds chilling closed-door summit with America's most powerful men. Now, Besant held one last week with all the heads of the banks. They've done drills about shutting down the banking and everything else. Now, Trump has this new crypto. Basically, Trump's their new currency for America, their electronic currency, if you will, is a cryptocurrency. And it's a scheme very similar, believe it or not, Hunter. It's almost identical to the early Bolshevik currency, the Russian Bolshevik currency. very similar, same group. But the difference is that it's an all-electronic version of the debacle that was Russia's Bolshevik currency that pretty much what they want to do is they want to take all the U.S. assets, which on paper are enormous across the country, and they want to make them into digital assets, put them on a digital ledger. So it is, if you really look at it as compared to the Bolshevik currency and what they did in the early days of Bolshevik, the whole entire scam, it's a similar scheme, except it's all electronic and would be far more efficient.
One of the reasons, like, I mean, going back to, like, I keep revisiting why I did not think he would do this and destroy his presidency is you got to think, I mean, he himself was on the line, right? And that if he screwed up badly and let the Democrats take back over, then they would come after him and impeach him again. And then, you know, they would try to go after him and his businesses all over again. So I felt like it was in his self-interest. You know, he's not going to go to war with Iran and destroy his presidency because then, you know, he would be personally impacted. Do you think he's just going to, like, I mean, we've established that he's at 33% in the polls. He's not going to win any election. I mean, Doesn't he kind of like have to shut down the midterms or
Well,
lose power?
maybe when the Democrats are saying he's going to shut things down, maybe the whisper is they know things we don't. I have to assume that some of these guys talking that have said these types of things, that he's a dictator, that he's going to be like Hitler, what they're talking about is that he's just going to, you know, things are going to shut down and things are going to permanently change. And the Israelis, we're going to be in, Zog is going to go from being covert and just targeting white nationalists to mm-hmm. like the Zogzilla, you know, it's like, this is yeah. the stuff that,
The gloves come off, the soft hand that makes it look like, oh, this is just, you know, public consent. The mailed fist is going to come out because he really has no choice at this point because, you know, they've just suffered such a catastrophic. You kind of think, look what they've tried. They bought CBS News. They bought TikTok. They censored TikTok.
And look at his ICE. Look at his ICE, how much he's beefed up those ICE. And Coast Guard is getting its own special forces.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to think ICE has that. Well, that's one thing that's concerned with ICE. You know, we were so excited because, you know, ICE has that huge budget, and we thought that was
going to I don't know. I'm always skeptical about huge budgets because they don't like us.
That was going to be used to deport illegal aliens, but now they got Mark Wayne Mullen in charge of DHS. And, you know, he's APAC's top soldier.
Yikes.
So, and he's not deporting anyone, so.
Yeah, it's
he's their guy for civil unrest.
Well, in fact, they're talking about Tom Holman granting illegal status to illegal aliens and bullshit like that, which is, you know,
yeah,
this is really going to help his poll ratings. The one thing he had going for him was talking about illegal alien and hopefully doing some action enough to MAGA to bullshit everyone.
I would absolutely love to see them like do that. Cause I would actually like to see them like come out and like try to do that just so I could see the reaction of, Patrick Casey and, Captive Dreamer and Scott Greer and people like that and how they would, you know, try to interpret that. And
what is Patrick Casey and those guys, what are they saying about his low poll ratings? What are they saying? He's better than the Democrat.
They're mostly like keeping like extremely quiet about it, unless they're like accusing someone of being retard right or that's they don't really acknowledge the fact that, you know, he's at 33%, and they don't draw the conclusion. When I see that number, and like, I mean, you call that clip? There was a clip from CNN that came out yesterday of Harry Enson was like putting this in comparative perspective. Like worse than Jimmy Carter, worse than Nixon after Watergate, worse than George W. Bush after Katrina in the 2008 financial collapse and Iraq, worse than all that, and that's just a staggering number, which means it's politically over for MAGA. You don't ever hear them acknowledging that or explaining to like their audience, like no one gets down to like 33% and comes back. It's like coming back from, that's like being resurrected from the dead.
Yeah, it's like it's either dictator or bust.
Right.
You know, and that would break up the country. I don't know what they're planning, but the Democrats keep talking. There's he's not going to allow an election and this and that. And the Israelis, if it were just him, whatever, but the Israelis are quite capable of, they're going to hold on to the top of America no matter what. And so unleashing AI, that's low hanging fruit for them probably. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger. Since you've been around a long time, I'm mm-hmm. trying to think of when we're talking about Anthropic and we're talking about the apocalyptic formula and everything else. I racing through my mind was the book Hunter and all these white nationalist sci-fi epics about the end
sci-fi
of America.
Epics from ages ago.
How many of those are out there? How many can you think of? It could be quite a barn burner reselling a lot of those books on Occidental Descent. You might make a fortune. Nationalist apocalyptic literature. It may go down even worse than the white nationalist apocalyptic literature could even dream.
Yeah, I mean we're kind of like in a white nationalist apocalypse scenario where the president's completely controlled by is the whole country realizes the president's completely controlled by Israel, and has started a gigantic war with Iran that has destroyed the world economy, and has gas prices go into Mad Max levels.
I mean, hatred for Jews is at 50% globally. Globally,
yeah. All this is kind of like an apocalyptic. Well, I take that back. One thing that the white nationalist apocalyptic literature got wrong is that instead of it being like, you know, just whites rising up and revolt against the Jews, it's just everyone fucking hates. Everyone hates Israel. Everyone hates the Jews.
Yeah, it's a whole entire planet. Countries.
Yeah, far more outside of this country and outside of like white conservatives than anywhere else, right?
Right.
White conservatives are like the most pro-Israel population in the world. It's like everyone else who...
I'm thinking of, it's been so long since I looked at the Turner Diaries. And I'm trying to think of, there were several different short story writers as well. I'm trying to think of who might have got this scenario the closest. You know, but, apocalyptic literature and white nationalism. Civil War II did not even get this. Uh-huh. Did that get any right? I've read that. Remember American Civil War and Civil War Two?
I remember watching that. Did you see that movie Civil War?
No, I did not see that.
What kind of American are you? Yeah, I've seen that. That scenario. I remember one of my predictions was that wouldn't happen. It hasn't happened. I don't know. Right now, everyone's completely invested in Trump, right? And the whole MAGA crowd is completely 100% in denial that, like, he's in the shape he's in. They'll all tell me in my comment section that it's fake news and the polls are being faked and Trump's extremely popular and the economy's great. And
that might be the strategy. Just use this new form of communication to gaslight your audience and to lie to them and put them in an alternative reality, which is what these political groups tend to do. The Republicans are doing it more than any other group right now.
That's a good question. What do you think will happen? Because after the assuming there is, if we've kind of debated whether the midterms would even happen, but how will these people take the downfall of Trump? Because they're completely convinced that
Trump will be technically a lame duck president. But the Democrats are going to try to impeach him. And yeah. Are the Israelis going to want that? Or the Israelis? This is the thing. I mean, our policy is decided by Zog. It's not decided by elected officials. It's not going to be decided by a Democrat winning an election.
Mm-hmm.
It was decided probably several years back. There's all these scenario potentials.
Well, you could say, okay, well, Trump knew he was going to lose the midterms and he knew he would get impeached by a Democrat House. So he promised the Republican Senate that he would start a war with Iran. They would vote to acquit him of his next impeachment. And what they got out of it was the war with Iran that Senate Republicans have uniquely been obsessed with. So maybe that's the shot right there.
I think that my guess would be that the Israelis are probably looking at the situation. Maybe they thought the war with Iran, Netanyahu reportedly thought that America's military wouldn't have that big of a deal. You know, once he got America involved, America would just roll them over. Yeah. Now, if that's true, then they made errors as well. But let's face it, mm-hmm. our decline goes hand in hand with their decline as far as, you know, they're not as smart as they once were. You can't swim in water without getting wet. They pretty much, you know, fish rots from the head. They're very corrupt. The people in charge, the Jews in charge, tell the other Jews what they want to hear. They got a lot of money so they can insulate themselves in their own bubbles. It could be a recipe for disaster all around. Or they might have enough plans in place like, yeah, America's going to be in a quagmire in Iran, but we're going to take out Iran. We're going to ruin Iran. And then we don't really care what happens to America. We're going to rule the world, whatever. There's no one to be strong enough in the Middle East to overtake us unless they get attacked by Turkey or something. So I don't know.
That's the next war they want. They want a war with Turkey.
Well, no, Turkey could be a problem on paper for them. They can't have any enemy anywhere in the world. The big problem for them is actually China. I think it's a big problem for the banksters.
Yeah, they completely have to control everything because anyone having any kind of independent agency is a threat to them. That's why they see the media. That's why they have to own every television station and
they're TikTok psychotic.
And social media company.
Psychotic. Any loyalty not to them.
Psychotic control over everything.
No loyalty to their God and their God. They got to control everything. Everything's got to be controlled. And so it's always another enemy. It's always going to be a Turkey, an Iran, a China. And
it's always the next enemy, yeah.
It's a debacle. We're witnessing
a debacle. It's been a long time since we heard about Iraq as the enemy or Syria. Those were the big enemies for years and years.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein was gonna nuke us. He's so close. He's got weapons of mass destruction.
We are.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of amazing to see all that happen again. It made me wonder if every generation is just lied to. Is given the same lies like this. Because I remember vividly the lies back in the 2000s and seeing it all happen all over again after what we thought was 10 years of moving away from that. But
even the Daily Wire is closing up.
The Israeli Wire, yeah.
Yeah, Daily Wire. Does Matt Walsh still work for them?
Yeah, he's still working for them, although I hardly ever see Matt Walsh. I used to see him in 24. I would see him on my timeline almost every day, right? I've retweeted a lot of his stuff. And I thought things were going well, but I don't ever see Matt Walsh anymore.
He's got 4 million followers.
Yeah, I see Mark Levin, people reacting to Mark Levin more than Matt Walsh.
The next two episodes of Real History will cover the civil rights era and its consequences, which have been disastrous. The first part begins with the story of the real MLK. Oh, so basically,
yeah, he's basically
Stormfront 2006 right now.
He's been trying to put a lot of this stuff out, but people are just so mad about the war and the economy and Jews and everything. It's just kind of been, all the cultural race stuff's been overshadowed. But he has been putting stuff out about that, like that.
He says he's really into the alien stuff, but the stuff they're putting out today is garbage. All right. I'm trying to look to see if he's saying anything new. But these guys, here's the thing about Matt Walsh. Under a Democrat, I mean, they're all going to be targeted. No question about it. Unless well, maybe he won't. Maybe the Ben Shapiros aren't going to be targeted. But they might take their gloves off and try to target everyone and anyone around MAGA. They might have to actually go to Israel or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. Shabos Kestenbaum, the typical Republican.
Now, the Indian migration has drawn so much heat.
We haven't talked about Vivek.
That's up next. Vivek, the street shooter, is up next. Because, we've had places in Michigan that went from, I'd say, 90% white to, they're now 30-40% Indian. Another place was 99% white, and it's now like 70% Indian. The guys that are getting elected out of Michigan are those Indians and whatever, Southeast Asians.
Like in Canada.
Can't even speak English. Yeah, it's very, very similar to Canada. So Indian migration is a huge, the invasion, the H-1Bs is a huge issue. Vivek Ramaswamy won the Ohio Republican primary. He was running against more of a pro-white guy, actually. What did he break, almost 20% against him?
I think so. I think he was like Butch or whatever his name was, like 15% or something like that.
No, he's running against a Jewish lady, a Democratic Jewish lady. Can he
beat her? Oh, yeah. Who would you, if you had to, like, is the question like, well, what odd is it? It's like asking to choose between Vivek and Amy Acton. It's like trying to ask to choose between your left eye and your right eye.
Right.
Getting plucked out.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't vote for Vivek. No way, shape, manner, or form. Generally speaking, I don't vote for a Jewish woman. I might hold my nose and vote for her just to defeat him.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking.
I would probably have to do that because I couldn't see him as running Ohio. Because if he runs Ohio, it just sets the tone. It puts him into the into the national conversation, and they're always going to be.
What
having
is even him. The right? I mean, when Vivek Ramaswamy represents like the right, what is even like that? Like, you know, I mean, what is even the point of like being in paying any attention at all to politics at that point?
No, I don't vote
with someone like that.
I don't vote except in maybe a local election or something like that. But something like this is something I would vote just to throw a vote in for the crazy psychotic Jewish lady.
I think, I mean, you're gonna, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. If you're gonna do a protest vote, by sitting out the election and not voting for Vivek, that's a protest vote. But by voting for Acton, that's kind of like two protest votes. If you're gonna have like a protest vote anyway, you might as well, I guess. But I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to be there and make that choice. I keep getting all this literature from all these Republican candidates who are running in Alabama who have no interest. And it's all like Trump endorsed me. You know, I'm going to end wokeness and the border. And it's, I don't believe any of this crap. So
yeah, you see, I probably wouldn't. I'm typically the type that, like, I don't vote. But when I read tweets like this, your daily reminder that this is Laura Loomer, that X isn't real life and the woke Reich losers have no real influence in the real world. Congratulations to Vivek Ramaswamy, a brown Indian American who is more American than any of the bigoted assholes who said he shouldn't be allowed to hold office. You see, when I read stuff like this, I'm like, I'm going to have to hold my nose and vote for this crazy Jewish woman.
She used to attack Indians all the time, if I'm not mistaken. Then she actually went over to India and they all reminded her of that.
Laura Loomer?
You know, I saw Laura Loomer in real life.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've seen her in real life. She came and spoke at the Ameren conference a few years ago. She was not only at Ameren, she spoke at Ameren.
I didn't know
this
that.
This is like,
I forgot about that.
3-4 years ago, it was the first one.
If I ever knew that,
I
don't remember hearing that. Was she on the
docket?
Yeah,
she was there. She spoke to Ameren. This had to have been like 2022,
2023. Okay, so wow, it's kind of wild.
It was before October 7th, I think.
Yeah,
but I think it was the first Ameren that we went back to, because I mean we've been to the last few ones, but before that it's been like a decade.
Yeah, there was a big. The Jews did a big partnership with India, obviously.
Yeah. But she was there and she was literally speaking at the conference. I didn't say anything to her. I acknowledged it. I saw that she was there, but like I didn't interact with her at all. But I'm sure she was trying to gather intel on people. Now, I mean, you see how she is. I'm sure she was there to like gather intel on people. And
Ohio is very, very red. That's why this is not good. Ohio is super red. And white people aren't all that ethnocentric to begin with. And I just don't know how the Democrats... Now, the only bad thing about this governor is she's blamed for a lot of COVID stuff, I guess. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently she was...
She's not as Jewy looking as Laura Loomer, unless she's had as much plastic surgery. I don't know.
You know. I mean, she's just going to be like a basic, terrible Democrat. And if I'm being honest, I would say that's preferable to Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, but, I know the Democrat running Michigan.
I'm glad I don't live in that state, so I don't have to.
Yeah, the Democrat running Michigan, she has an attorney general that's
Whitmer.
This crazy. Yeah, Whitmer has this crazy attorney general that's this Jewish lady, Jewish lesbian that's crazy. But I still would vote for Whitmer over a black or anyone else because she's a white woman. But
you know,
this is one of those scenarios where it's, you know, it's hold
for
on.
Several years there. I was like, for several years after Charlottesville, I was like, wow, you know, we got a Republican governor in Alabama that like kind of saves us from a lot of the craziness that's happened elsewhere, like COVID and BLM stuff, and it's just been quiet here. So I was kind of thankful for that. And that's what one of the things that like kind of moved me in like a, I guess we'll participate in politics direction.
Listen to this. Recent polling. Wow, this is tight. Indicated statistically tight race between Ramaswamy and Acton. Late April poll by Bowling Green State University, YouGov, which should be accurate, has Ramaswamy leading by 1%. So it's basically a dead heat poll, 48 to 47. That's not mm-hmm. – here's the thing about that, though. Here's the thing I like about Vivek only reading by a point. This is freaking Ohio. Yeah. Ohio.
Yeah.
Republicans should be leading a Democrat shit lib vaxxer by more than 1 point in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They the last guy, the guy who's governor now, DeWine, he won by over a million votes. I think like 10, 15, 20% or something like that. The last big midterm, which was 2022. The reason that Vivek's down like that is because, I mean, what we've been saying is that
his anti-American statements, anti-white American.
I've been saying this for months. I was like, what's going to happen? I've been saying for months, like, what's going to happen? It's like after Trump did this, I said it's going to go back to the way it was before he even arrived on the scene, right? Because remember when Trump elected and we were like, wow, Ohio's gone red. Wow, Iowa's gone red, right? And wow, you know, Florida has gone red. Well, what's going to happen is that now that everything that Trump's done has been undone, states like Ohio and Iowa are going to like revert back to being a lot more competitive than they have been in about a decade. And you're already seeing that. And it's also in Iowa where I think there's a Senate race or something, and the Republican is struggling in Iowa where they should be cleaning up. And that's just because they're just weak with working class independents in the Rust Belt.
Yeah. So I don't know how much his statements, his anti-white statements, matter to Ohio poll. I don't know what the polls would say. I don't know. I do know the economy is going to matter in Ohio. And Trump's going to be blamed for that. So Vivek Ramaswamy is a Trump candidate. He's associated with Trump. He's Trump's buddy. Trump's going to endorse him. Here's the thing. Amy Acton, if she just runs to the middle, if she just sounds mm-hmm. moderate, if she has any type of advice at all, should be able to pull that off. If they're dead, you got a president in office, a Republican president, and he's endorsing you. And you're a billionaire brown guy who says all the right things, except when the mic's hot, then you say a lot of wrong things. But nonetheless, I mean, you should be in Ohio, Republican governor, nomination for governor with a Republican president endorsement should be up more than 1%. But oil prices might have him down by now.
Yeah, you also got to think it's probably the economy thing. It's going to probably get a lot worse between now and the election. So, did you see that, who was it? J.D. Vance was, there was polls out like checking J.D. Vance's approval with independent and Marco Rubio's approval with independent. And like Marco Rubio was underwater with independents by like 36 points. And J.D. Vance is underwater with independents about like by about 44 points. So like what Trump has done has worn off on everyone.
I saw Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio had a meeting with Maloney of Italy, and they were about the same size. And I kind of like, man, Marco Rubio's short.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, which is the least of my problems with him, I guess.
I remember protesting them like years ago. We had signs out there saying, you know, Marco Rubio wants to replace us.
You know what could make Trump really popular is if he tries to take over Cuba as well.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, the next thing Trump's promised that Cuba is next. that once the aircraft carrier comes back from the Middle East, it's going to like make a stop in Cuba. And then guess what? We'll have Cuba and everybody will be happy about that, I guess, is the way he thinks.
Yeah, all the Jews are going to get their property back. Watch, we're going to have all these.
Yeah, you always got to ask yourself, like, how does Israel and Jews benefit? What is the plan? And I'm sure they have some kind of plan for Cuba, just like they had with Venezuela and Paul Singer and Citgo oil refinery that he was in charge of or something like that. And so the Cuba is somehow Cuba is – oh, even Greenland. Did you know that Trump's obsession with Greenland was the president of the World Jewish Congress was the guy who convinced him to go after Greenland, Ron Lauder? Is there all this seems kind of random, like, you know, Israel, Iran, Greenland, Venezuela, Cuba. But there's all powerful Jews behind, like, all of it, even Greenland. Because a lot of people try to argue that, this all can't be about Jews because, look, Trump's interested in Greenland. What does Greenland have to do with Jews? And the president of the World Jewish Congress had some kind of investment in Greenland, and that's why Trump was threatening to go to war with Denmark to get Greenland.
This is why I like these conversations, because you're not historically a conspiracy theorist, but this is how bad things are, that you have to literally entertain these.
You have to literally just put the theory out there. Okay, how does this benefit Israel or a large Jewish donor? And then that, like, because you know, it's not like I was operating from the perspective, okay, well, he wouldn't like go to war with Iran, because then he'd be committing political suicide. And by committing political suicide, he would have the Democrats, you know, back in charge of Congress, subpoenaing everybody, impeaching everyone, him and everyone in his administration, and, you know, going straight back to criminal prosecution for corruption and all this, right? So I was looking at it from the self-interest angle. Like, it's not in his interest to start a war with Iran. He did it. He did it. So self-interest doesn't explain what's been going on.
No, it's just like someone lining up, like, okay, this is what we need to do to prepare. It's some, you know, they're looking out in the future and they're just doing crazy stuff to try to save Israel, or they're looking out in the future and doing maybe a combination of things. One of them will be Israel and to try to, if not, yeah, just they're going to have some kind of empire here to survive.
That's one of the things we haven't discussed. And I kept looking at, you know, the Trump administration from the perspective of like what could be done or what I would do. Like, yeah, you could get the president elected, the president and Congress could pass this huge bill, and you could have the money to deport illegal aliens. And all the thing is all that's possible, right? We got Trump elected. We got the Republicans in charge of every branch of government. They even passed the bill to spend tens of billions of dollars on ICE to deport all these people. And yet, it didn't happen. The ICE has that huge tens of billions of dollar budget, and they are not doing this. They got back in power and they went to war with Iran, because it's not what I would have done with power, but that's what Republicans do with power. So that's why there's no practical case for giving them power, because no matter what they say they're going to do with it, they're going to cut taxes and start wars for Israel and do favors for rich donors. And then that's it. And that's what always happens. And every time we think it's different, it turns out not to be. So
every single time, Belford.
Every single time, yeah. Every single, it's like this time is different, right? This time, it's going to be completely different. We've learned, you know, we've learned from our mistakes of being spending trillions of dollars in the Middle East for decades. We've learned this time is different. This time, we're going to do more than cut tax, and it's like nope. Like, you're going to get back in there, you're going to pass your tax cut, you're going to start a war with Israel, you're going to tank your popularity, and then you're going to come out with your hat in hand and saying, please vote for us, then you're going to lose power, and then you'll have to just wait until the next backlash lifts you back. That's the endless cycle. So,
Nick Fuentes, the GOP is less America first than Democrats. You covered that.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't watch this.
I've been critical. I also linked to if you click that thing, I linked to an Obama, an article from the New Yorker where Obama's talking about. Obama did an interview with the New Yorker, and he was saying, you know, Netanyahu came to him with all the same arguments, and Iran is weeks away from a nuclear weapon and everything, and Obama says that he stood up to Netanyahu and negotiated the Iran deal, and the AIPAC was real mad about it, right? And you got to give him credit for that. He is more than America first. Obama was more America first than Trump. Obama, when confronted with these same Jews, showed more resistance to them than Trump did. Trump is like uniquely weak.
Even
George
team.
W. Bush did.
He's on their team.
Even George W. Bush didn't go to war with Iran, even though there were people who were wanting to do it back then. But he's the same old Republican crap, just like more Jewish and Zionist than ever. That's what it's going to be remembered as.
Yeah, what's gas prices near you? Is it well past $4, isn't it?
Yeah. Here in I'm in over across state line in Georgia right now. It's I did spot some gas earlier for $3.70. I was kind of excited about that. I was like, woo. I was like, where did that come from? But yeah, it's normally like it's the average all around here is $4, $4.10. But I did spot one gas station with $3.70 for some reason.
Yeah, no.
It's because Georgia suspended the gas tax, the 30-cent gas tax.
What's interesting is Costco is so much cheaper. Costco gas prices near me are $3.40, which is kind of wild.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's a lot cheaper than I thought they'd be. Yeah, because a lot of other places are a lot higher, but Costco's holding back. Now their premium's a buck higher than that, but yeah, mm-hmm. You start talking about gas prices at I've seen this chart you put up here. You know, $5.75 out west. You're all around $5 here, $4 or $5. That's just a lot.
Yeah, I remember distinctly because you remember when the last time when it got this high when Biden started. Remember when Biden canceled Russia and gas prices went through the roof in 22. We had scheduled a trip to go out west. We drove all the way out to California to Los Angeles.
Wow.
To take our son out there, you know, on a cross country vacation. And we had the hotels booked and paid for and everything, and drive across the country. And that's when that was the moment when gas prices went to the highest point since the 70s. So I actually saw the $7, $8 gas out in Los Angeles.
Did you drive the Route 66? Is that what you were doing?
We got off on Route 66 at a bunch of points. We drove out there, I think, 10 or 20, the interstate. Went through Mississippi, Arkansas, and a bunch of other places. Oh, and we went out to the Rocky Mountains. That's where we were originally going.
That's cool.
And then we went to the Grand Canyon. And from the Grand Canyon, we went to, Orange Beach. Saw the Pacific and stayed there for a few days and drove back. Take a road trip. But, yeah, gas was sky high at the time. And that's one of the reasons I was so mad with Biden. I mean, it's like I couldn't believe, you know, anyone would be stupid enough to do that. And that was a point in Trump's favor because, you know, the gas prices never got that bad under Trump. The economy never got that bad under Trump. It was one of the reasons Trump won and was reelected. And look what he's managed to be even worse than Biden.
Yeah, he's a complete and total disaster. Let's go into the last subject matter, I guess. We'll talk about Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, What do you think about Tucker Carlson? I mean, you think he's going to end up running? What does he poll like for president? Things like that. Tom, you end up with Tucker Carlson and Thomas Massie or something? The Republican establishment would go nuts. How would that even work? Is that even possible? It would have to be an independent.
I'm assuming if Tucker ran for president, he would run as a Republican and would get like that's a ton of support from independents who aren't going to vote for any of the other candidates. I guess that would be the strategy. Kind of like how Trump got elected initially, in that the Republican base was the last, the Ted Cruz crew types were the last to come around. But I don't even know if he would do that. So maybe he would run, maybe Tucker would run. He said he's entertained the notion of running in 28, for he wants to argue against Ted Cruz on the debate stage. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Eric Doherty, who does all the MAGA posting, a lot of it at least.
All the LOLs every day is like
Yeah,
LOL every
LMAO,
joke.
President Trump posted an image of himself chilling in the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. Marco and JD are there. So it's Trump with his shirt off and Trump's looking all buff, and he's in some kind of inflatable chair, and he's got JD Vance and Marco Rubio. They're all basically swimming with their shirts off. I don't know who's on the right. She's in a bikini. And then some other dude on the back behind him, but he's got a thumbs up and he's in the swimming in the Lincoln Memorial pool. But it just reminded me the only thing Trump really does is he puts out AI every day. AI
Oh yeah,
slop.
all the AI slot videos and things flattering himself, and it's just cringe.
Yeah.
And then you have the cult members who every time everything he says negative about a person, they adopt it. Everything he says is like the funniest joke ever. It's like North Korea level, like sycophancy. It's just cringe.
Yeah, and then you have, of course, now Tucker gave an interview to the New York Times. Did you read the interview at all?
The are you talking about like the big yeah, the interview he did with him today. I watched like, I think it was like 2 hours. I watched about an hour of it. He was explaining like about how he told like Trump not to go to war and everything, and Trump kept telling him it's gonna be okay because it always is. And he also said that he told them that Jake Cruz and Rupert Murdoch and all them hate him and we're trying to sabotage him, and he said, "I know," and I don't know. It's just yeah. Tucker was also asked about what was he defending? Oh yeah, he was asked about comments he made about like Christian Zionists, and also he was, I know they were quizzing him on whether he believed that Trump was the Antichrist. And he was saying he didn't believe that. He was just saying that Trump was kind of like put himself out there as like a religious figure for his cult to follow, which is true.
Now I'm trying to look over the propaganda that's coming out to see what they have planned next. So, yeah, I with a little part of the interview with New York Times I saw, it didn't look like anything new on Tucker's part. It didn't look like anything.
No. It was. They also asked him about Nick Fuente, like they do every time he does any interview.
It sounds like he regrets interviewing Nick. I was surprised he interviewed him at all. Why? I think Alex Jones made that happen, personally.
You know how Nick has falling outs with everyone he's ever worked with and clashes with everybody, so not really surprising. Oh, did you see Nick's Democrat arc? He's like, I'm a Democrat now.
I don't know about that. He tends
No.
to say things for effect and speculate. That's really what he does on a show, is a lot of speculation. I'd have to see what he does when he does it. if it happens.
Well, I mean, Richard is famous for blazing that trail. He's still doing it, you know, unironically.
Yeah, well,
even today.
I mean, Nick went on a rant the other day about how he's right wing and will always be right wing, and so on and so forth, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I can see his point. Like, it's just a middle finger to the Republicans for being terrible.
Yeah, but you don't have to join a party. You don't have to go and do all
right.
kinds of groveling stuff. You can just vote for the people right. you want to vote for.
You'll vote for Democrats, and they'll do something like equally catastrophic, like the Ukraine thing.
I mean, he's a big Newsom fan. He's a big Newsom fan, I think.
Yeah, he was promoting Gavin Newsom.
Yeah. So they're saying 4-foot-tall aliens. FBI UFO files bombshell claim 4-foot-tall aliens. Now, if they roll out something like that, they may make – I don't even think that'll help Trump's poll net ratings. No?
I'm actually not, like, completely opposed to the alien story because I'm actually kind of, you know, after 2 or 3 months of, like, just – stuck with Iran, I'd kind of like to be interested in something else, just for nothing else, just because I'm tired of it.
Yeah, maybe the aliens will evade and give us some
gas.
I mean,
I used to like to watch like the Breaking Points and Tucker Carlson and stuff when they would talk about aliens, just for like kind of, you know, mild comic relief at the end of the night. Or
like, yeah, I wonder how much of the stuff they have to bring out.
I would listen to Joe Rogan like interview Bob Lazar or something like that, and just, you know, killing Tom, kind of like, you know, thinking about less serious subjects. And what do you think? Do you think they're under the water? The big theory in that space is they have all these underwater bases that they're all like under the ocean and stuff.
I think the missing budget, like the missing budget at the Pentagon is what. How many trillion? It's so much money. And they could, the U.S. government could have, most certainly has underwater bases. They most certainly do. I can't prove that, but but who knows what they'll do. Under the water, an alien event in the ocean, South Pacific, would be something that they could stage potentially with a next generation craft. Simply mm-hmm. because it would be impossible. I mean, if you do that in a city, you're going to have all kinds of smartphones. People are going to detect things. But if you do that out in the middle of the ocean, it would be a little bit different. The question is how many people are going to believe it, and how are they going to go about it?
Who is it that says Hitler like fled to Antarctica on a UFO or something? And
that's always been ever since.
Hitler was going to Hitler and the Fourth Reich were going to come back on UFOs or something.
Yeah,
like that.
There was an element in Austria shortly after the war that started drumming out National Socialist.
I think
UFO
I've seen movement. Stuff like that on Countercurrents or something.
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Goes back a long, long ways, believe it or
well,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
The best selling book from Ernst Zundel was a UFO book that he put out for jokes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So think about it. It's always been in the popular imagination. The National Socialists themselves, unvetted National Socialist Party members from Operation Paperclip, were only a few miles away, if that maybe, from the Roswell incident. Something that doesn't get discussed. The Operation High Jump that came back right after the war, which was a crazy thing, went down there and was supposed to be down there several months in Antarctica and came back. We know they got to Argentina and Patagonia. I don't know about that far south, but why would they, if you're in Argentina and you can actually fly, if they had, let's say you'd be better off occupying Paraguay and the jungles. The jungles of Brazil are pretty much, I mean, there's no satellites at the time. So Patagonia and places in South America, you're going to be fine to manufacture whatever. Remember, satellites didn't come about till well after. So you wouldn't have to go that far south to quote unquote Antarctica. But it would
be
entertaining if they did. Other than the,
I am going to like relax and I am going to relax and unwind and catch up on the alien stuff. Just
alien propaganda. Exactly. I'm ready for the big show. If they're going to do a show, give me a show. I would much rather have an alien show than them shut down the universe with Anthropic to make sure Trump doesn't get defeated in an election.
Look up the alien invasion, like 2027 thing. Like they're gonna announce that. I kept seeing like I can't remember. It was on one of those broadcasters. I can't remember which one, but they were talking about like how such and such had told them that they're gonna have. Oh, I know who it was. Was it Lou Elizondo? You know what I'm talking about, the alien guy.
Well, he's worked for the CIA. He's one of the whistleblowers.
Yeah, yeah. He was the one who was always going on Tucker. When
claims that
like
an alien invasion or revelation will occur in 2027, originate primarily from UFO disclosure.
Oh, they're going to say like an alien. They're going to say an alien spaceship has been detected.
Well, these are like former CIA. Source. This is John Ramirez, former CIA officer and UAP specialist. Woo. Okay, so that's a meme. Aliens will reveal themselves in 2027. This goes back to 2023 on Yahoo. This is a AP report. Former CIA agent Ramirez. Okay, now he's been one of the guys that's been on disclosure. And aliens will reveal themselves in 2027. I have a feeling they're going to be very anti-white. And they're going to love the Jews.
Yeah, they showed up to like put an end to anti-Semitism. That would be announced, sold in Congress.
Tim Dillon warns the government is planning to stage a fake alien invasion. This is on
that would be the perfect PSYOP successor to COVID, though. Imagine the hysteria that would create, right?
Well, you would have to. The problem is that you would have to lay off some cities. That means you're going to have to hurt your economy. But if the economy is already hurting.
Normies love the alien stuff.
Well, they've spent more money on that particular meme than any meme in the history of memes. I mean, it has the Spielbergs. It has all the different angles. I mean, there's a variety of different angles you could go down. It's already. If I say the word alien, everyone listening to this automatically has a little gray dude in their head because Hollywood put it there. So you already have that going for you. People. A percentage are going to believe, and a percentage want to believe.
So something like that was released in the files today, or I saw it floating around on my timeline that people were saying it was like a little 3 foot like being or something.
Yeah, I just read that news report for you. Four foot aliens were spotted getting out of craft.
Yeah, that's probably what you're always referring to. Or
little gray dude. I have a feeling those are robots, though. Those are the next generation automaton they've had out for 30 years, controlled by Rothschilds in their bunkers. write me a white national sci-fi flick.
Oh, yeah, well, all the robots and stuff are coming, legitimately.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
They already have shows and stuff like all these AI robotic shows. They have like humanoid robots doing all kinds of stuff and like fake women, AI bots.
Yeah, fake women, like, women bots.
Like fake. He's like, you can adjust their attitude.
Oh, my. Well, Brad, I appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything you want to promote other than a hot summer in Alabama?
Yeah, just check out my X account, at Luther Enjoyer, and I'll be on there. And thanks for having me. And I'm going to catch up on some alien stuff after you go.
Yeah, I'll definitely write some articles on alien stuff, and run around with them for sure. But I appreciate you coming on and being a good sport, and I'll be in touch. I like
hearing
your opinions.
Thanks, man. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah,
talk to you later.
I do appreciate it. Thank you. Guys, thank you very much. I'll be back Sunday. Cheers. Take care. And be safe this weekend. I'll be back Sunday, same time.